How many of you watch The Bachelor? It's a popular TV reality show. I think even possibly it's either getting ready to start or just ended. I'm not sure. But it's about just this good-looking, successful bachelor who's ready for love. And he meets, 25-plus beautiful, eligible, single women. And one is guaranteed to be a match. Women start off beautiful, clean, no issues. But as the show continues, you see their true colors. They begin to lie, hurt, steal away the reputations of young girls as they fight their own vulnerability. The Bachelor begins as a man with a hopeful, fun future. But by the end of the season, he has become very vulnerable. He questions if what he's doing is the right thing, and he's so afraid that he may have sent the right girl home earlier in the process. We are introduced to probably the first ever beauty contest here in Esther chapter 2. All the glamour, it seems, beauty treatments. I'm sure that they learn etiquette and social skills. They eat healthy. And they're promised one night with the king. I wonder if that was the first interview process, possibly. There may have even been a talent. They could go into the king with whatever they wanted. So maybe there was a talent division of this beauty pageant. But what we truly learn about is vulnerability. Chapter 2 begins and ends with vulnerability. Madeline Lingle quoted this, "When we were children, we used to think that when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. To be alive is to be vulnerable." God sees us at our most vulnerable places, and He has created us and knows our heart. He knows you and me better than we know ourselves, and He can heal us. Our vulnerability can be seen by those around us, and that's the first point that I want us to see as we begin to look through Esther 2. Our vulnerability can be seen by those around us, and that is in verses 1 through 4. Let's just look at the king's vulnerability. He remembers Vashti. At this time, his memory goes back. I just wonder if he missed her, if he remembered his love for her. And by this time, he has been defeated by Greece. That is in many of the commentaries. That's not in our scripture, but I just know that from the commentaries that have been studied. And the personal attendants of the king, they propose a search for a replacement of the queen. And their proposal was to have beautiful young virgins to come before the king. And the girl who pleases the king would be the one that they would crown as queen. And the word pleases here, it means to make right, to amend, to make beautiful. So they were, their hope was to bring someone in that would make the king back whole, basically. Make him back into the person that they knew him as. I think that his personal attendants at this point and those around him are really seeing his vulnerability, really seeing his identity change, maybe a little bit of depression. And so they're trying to make that right by bringing another person in to make him more whole. And I just, in saying that, I want you and I want myself to know that only Jesus Christ can make us whole. We can't bring someone else in to make our heart right. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And I know for so many of us, we get married thinking that's going to make us happy. We have children thinking, okay, that's going to make us happy. We bring materialistic things in. If I only had this, then my life would be okay. You guys, that's not what it's about. We will continually have that void and that unhappiness and that dissatisfaction, that contentment that's not there. That's going to always be there unless we allow Jesus Christ to come in and amend and make things right for us. So we have been vulnerable at some time in our life. You and I have, just like we're seeing here with the king. And maybe some of us can identify with that. We hide our vulnerable state behind pride, superficial love, or the advice of others. Everything that we're really seeing with the king. Those are the three areas of what we see him as vulnerable as, that he's bringing in to kind of hide that to others. We may be like these women that are about to go through a process of vulnerability. There's going to be many who are not picked, that they are skipped over because they don't have the three requirements: beauty, youth, virginity. And you know, for so many of these young ladies, especially I would think for Esther, a lot of these were taken basically by force. They weren't asked if they wanted to go to the king's palace. They weren't asked if they wanted to lose all of their life to go in and basically become concubines for the king. They were just told that that's what they were going to have to do. But I still, in my heart, feel like that there's other young ladies that possibly that was their way out. Maybe they were poor. Maybe they did not have strong relationships within their families. And that really would have been a better life for them. Maybe they could have taken care of their parents by being placed in the palace in this manner. And so those are the women that I'm thinking about, just those that were skipped over, that possibly had a desire to be loved or to be seen as beautiful or to be seen with that usefulness, and they were passed over. I feel like I know for me, we can just relate to that as we go back and kind of even look at our childhood years, you know, when we weren't always seen as good enough, or maybe we weren't picked first on every sports team. I know for me, I lived in a neighborhood, I think there were like 14 boys and me, and I was always picked last, and I understand that now, but at that time in my life, I so needed to be needed and to be wanted on a team, even though it was football and baseball and all the boys' sports at that time. There was something that I personally needed to know that I was wanted, but I was always picked last. Or maybe even on Friday nights, maybe you were never invited to a friend's house. Or maybe they wouldn't come to yours because there was just something that was going to be more fun to do. Maybe you were overlooked by your parents or even by your teachers as being one without much potential. We can relate to that vulnerability, can't we? Finding happiness without dealing with your core issues, it's only going to further the healing from taking place. So when was the last time that you felt vulnerable? And can you still remember how it made you feel? That emotion that swells within you and stays with you for days? Vulnerability isn't something that comes just for a moment. It is an emotion that can last for a lifetime. It can be the reason for the decisions we make, the anger we have towards certain people, or why a reflection from our past can spring up incredible tears of pain. But God can use us where we are. And I want you to know that. God loves you where you are. He can heal you and he can use you. You are needed. You are desired by God. He can heal your scars and he can turn your shame and your vulnerability, he can turn that into dignity. Psalm 3:3, I think, is one of my favorite psalms. It says that you are a shield around me, O Lord, and you bestow glory on me, and you lift up my head. God covers you. He defends you. And he presents you like with a gift. He bestows on you dignity. He gives you back your reputation, and he lifts your head from shame. If we will only allow him to do that, he is our safe place. The next point that I want us to see is that when we are most vulnerable, we must remember that even when we cannot see God, that he promises to never leave or forsake us. And that's, let's just look at verses 5 through 11. That's where this is going, is in those verses. It's where Mordecai and Esther are introduced. And we see the vulnerability in these people, God's chosen people. They were Jewish. They were from the tribe of Benjamin. And through Scripture, we can see that the great-grandfather of Mordecai went into exile with King Jehoiakim. And that was back in 597 B.C. So most probably there was royalty within that line, some type of nobility there. But Mordecai and Esther have stayed in the land of where they are. Many of the Jewish people went back at this time and rebuilt the temple. But the decision of Mordecai and his family was to stay where they were. And if you look at Esther, you learn that she is an orphan, that she is adopted by Mordecai, who is her cousin because of her parents' death. But she is taken to the king's palace. She is one of these young ladies that had to go, not by choice, to the king's palace. And Scripture tells us that she was lovely in form and in feature. And what this is telling us is that not only was she lovely as to look at, but she was lovely on the inside out. And that to you and me is just those fruits of the Spirit that, you know, you can be attracted to someone, but they can just take your attention and you can be just brought to them because of the fruits that they bear. And that's what we're seeing with Esther here, is that she had character that brought joy, and she was pleasant to be with. But she was told not to speak of her nationality. Mordecai basically counseled her, and she listened to him even whenever she becomes queen. And he tells her not to tell her nationality. But I believe that her vulnerability made her wise. She listened to Mordecai, and she won favor. As you look at Scripture, she won favor from all who saw her. As soon as she got there, people began to favor her and to protect her and to take care of her. So what I want us just to think about here is, when has there been a time in your life that you were taken from the environment that you knew? Maybe as a child, you had to move and leave all your friends. Or your family was separated because of divorce or even death. Did God place someone in your life that you could trust? Someone like this Mordecai that would give wise counsel in this manner? Or maybe you are that person to someone else. Many times, because of our past, we allow our vulnerability to define our future. But with God, you can overcome anything. God will make a way for you, ladies. As we see with Esther, she was in a vulnerable state, not by her own doing. She was born into exile. She was orphaned. She was adopted by a loving cousin. And then once again, she was taken back into exile. She was orphaned again. There seems that we see a child here who was tough and rough around the edges with Esther. She had no mother to teach her to be a young lady, but instead we hear only of her beauty. You may be in the midst of going into exile today yourself. Maybe you've been separated from family and friends, or you've left your job to be a full-time mom. Or you're making decisions to go back to work because of financial pressures. Maybe you're being shut out of a relationship, or you feel unwelcomed. All of this can make you feel vulnerable, and that child within you comes out, and you're afraid. Isaiah 43:18-19 says this: "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" You know, no matter what you have gone through in your past, God desires to give you hope. He wants you to know He loves you and He has great and mighty plans for your life. The next point that I want us to see is, the beauty you have on the inside will always win over the beauty you pretend to be on the outside. I have this article, and it is in regards to Miss USA. Many of you have read about that in the papers recently or watched it on TV. And Donald Trump has made the decision to give her another chance. And it just speaks here of her partying hard, drinking in public, and being accused of even using specific types of drugs. But Trump has basically said that she needs a second chance. And I just think it's so interesting that it seems that she is being represented because of her beauty. But it almost looks as if Trump is saying there's something on the inside. There's something there that we need to save. And we need to give her a second chance. And it's that beauty on the inside that is always going to come out. And it's always going to basically take over. You've even probably been in situations where you see a beautiful person, but as soon as you begin to hear her heart through her actions and her words, she becomes very ugly. Or even there's a woman or a young person that you see that is not attractive from what the world would define as beauty. But as soon as she begins to speak and you see her character and her love and the way she reacts to those around her, you see her as just beautiful. And that's what we're talking about here. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 18 as we discuss this part. It's the process of basically this beauty contest that the king has brought together. Before the girl went to the king, she went through 12 months of beauty treatment. There were 6 months of oil and myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and cosmetics. And they would go to the king with anything that she wanted. Evening would go and they would go and be with the king, and then morning would return, and these women would go to another part of the harem. They would basically become concubines. They would never go back to their families. But Esther is asked for nothing whenever she goes to be with the king, and the king is attracted to her, and she wins his favor, and he crowns her as queen. Now, this is 4 years after Queen Vashti. So there's a lot of time that has happened through this. And so they give the queen a banquet, and it's a holiday, and there are gifts that are distributed. And this means that it's a time of rest. It could mean that maybe there's tax relief or release from military service or both. It is a big holiday whenever the queen comes and is celebrated and represented. But she kept her identity secret. She continued to follow Mordecai's counsel even through this time. Dr. Constable, who is a DTS professor, he believes that Esther cooperated in practices contrary to the Mosaic law. And I just want to bring these out to you because there, you know, it is a question of what she did. Was it correct to do or not? But he says that she had sex with a man, not her husband, which the law in Exodus 20:14 states against. She marries a pagan, which Deuteronomy 7:1-4, God commanded the Israelites to stay married within the chosen people. And then she eats unclean food, which Leviticus 11:46-47, there was law against doing that. But, you know, I don't know. Esther, to me, is such a bigger story than just hitting specifically on this, because I really believe that God protected Esther, and that through Esther we can see so much just symbolism of who you and I are as Christians. But anyway, going towards where Dr. Constable is going here, I just want us to see that God used her anyway. And that is something that I think is so necessary for you and I to hear. Even though she possibly disregarded his will, he gave her a second chance. He protected her. He continued to love her. He continued to guide her. God is a God of second chances. And we only know of this one incident. There are other times, you know, if you contrasted her with Daniel and the things that he did. But you know what? She is female, number one, and she continues to go under Mordecai's authority. But the biggest thing is that she was used anyway. Praise God for his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness, and his desire for you and I to get to participate with him in his ministry and in his work here on earth. Can you imagine how it must have felt to be this vulnerable like these girls? If you just think about it, 12 months earlier, Esther was a young girl, anywhere, you know, between the age of 12, 14, 17, but I think she was probably, you know, pretty young. Probably out hanging out with her friends, doing chores around the house, maybe daydreaming about the man that she had heard would be her arranged future husband. But she knew her environment before she was in the palace. She knew her place and that her home was her home, that she could be comfortable there. She knew what was expected of her. And I just wonder if any of her friends were taken when she was to the palace. And did she get to see them? Did she miss her home, her own bed? Was there laughter in this new home of all young, beautiful girls? And was there great competition? And how lonely was she there? Can you identify with Esther in any way? Were you asked to grow up quickly as a child? Did your parents expect much from you and therefore placing pressure on you to be the best? Or maybe you can identify with Esther from the standpoint of not always being in God's will for your life. Has it made you believe that God has turned his back on you? And do you question if why you are where you are today in your life? Have you questioned if it's because you've denied Christ in some way? What type of process is God putting you through? Is the 12-month beauty process more like you're being chiseled down to nothing? Has he sloughed everything off you to where nothing remains but the core? As we will see with Esther through our study, God can use his children no matter our past disobedience. And he is working in our life, even though it may feel that he has left us to live a dreadfully lonely existence. He has not left you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are his child. He delights in you. He is a God of second chances. And he is a God quick to forgive. And the last point that I want us to look at is when we are most vulnerable, God shows his protection. And that's in verses 19 through 23. The king is very vulnerable once again right here, and there's a plot to kill him. He doesn't even know about it. You know, we might be in vulnerable situations and we don't even realize it right now. But things are going on around us that really could change the course of our life. But here with the king, Mordecai heard of the plot. He heard of what was going on, and he told Esther. And Esther told the king, and there was an investigation, basically, that went on. And the two men hanged on gallows. They were killed. And it was recorded in the book of Annals in the king's presence. So this information was given and recorded, this heroism that Mordecai went through. We see in these verses how Mordecai speaks of danger to Esther. In turn, Esther and the king basically get out of harm's way. And this will be remembered in the future. Once again, God is at work setting up the events that will turn the tables in the future. And we're going to study about that later. We can only imagine the vulnerability felt by the king. The fear of Esther as she imagines the scene as if the act were going to be played out. Has there been a time in your life that you felt true fear like this? Have you felt death breathing down your back? Maybe it was fear of never coming home again, or possibly a robbery or an abusive situation. Maybe you looked at death in the face through an illness, a car wreck, or just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. How were you protected, and what made you survive? Mordecai has just been introduced to us in this chapter, but we're going to see throughout this book how he is a representation or a symbolism, I guess, of the Holy Spirit. He has influenced Esther as a child, as well as while she is king, and now we see him speak words of warning to her. We will continue to compare him to that of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we go through this study. God will use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And he is here to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to protect us, as we see here how Mordecai protects the queen and the king. There is one who wants to distract you from where God is leading you. And from the moment you became a child of God, Satan has tried to trip you up. He wants to turn our backs on our Lord, to make us feel unworthy, insignificant, vulnerable, as we see here in this chapter. But God will protect his children from the enemy. He is going to guide each one of you through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place, O Lord. You will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me with songs of deliverance." Where does your vulnerability lie today? Do you need God's protection? Do you know that God sees you in the midst of your pain? Do you know that he will never leave you? We're going to talk more in detail of God's protection next week in Lesson 3. And we're going to begin to see not only the significance of Esther, but our own significance, your significance and mine as a child of God. I just hope that you will just continue to persevere and study these questions this week so that we can come back together next week. It's such a blessing to get to be with you today. And my prayer is that you truly know God's protection and you know his forgiveness. Dear Father, I just love you so much, and I pray for each one of these women that they will have a desire to know you as their King of Kings and their Lord of Lords. Dear Father, we just praise you for being a God of second chances, a God that forgives so quickly. I thank you that you know each one of us, our vulnerable states. Dear Father, you know our loneliness, our fears, our questions of who we are and why we're here. And you so desire to take us through a process to mold us and to make us into the person that you desire for us to be. And I just pray that each one of us will allow you to take control and to do that. Will you begin to heal each one of us where we are vulnerable, where we have hurts and pain and shame? Dear Father, will you just take us and make us into a woman of God? And will you begin to use us, dear Father, as you protect us and prepare us for our future? In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen.